As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Join 105.7 The Fan at the 57th Annual Towson Town Spring Festival, hosted by the Towson Chamber of Commerce, Inc. and the Towson Main Street Collaborative on Saturday, May 2nd from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday, May 3rd from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. The festival will feature a great lineup of local gourmet food trucks and vendors showcasing and selling art, jewelry, handmade products, and other unique treasures. The Towson Town Spring Festival is family-friendly and includes a range of entertainment, from live music to dance performances, rides and games, and beer garden.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Tuesday night at the yard, some timely hitting gets the birds back in the win column.
Rutschman left center field. That's a carbon copy. Two RBI singles in the game, both the other way, and the Orioles open the lead up to 5-1.
The call from Kevin Brown on Masson. Adley drives in Gunner in the bottom of the seventh, the 2019 draft special right there, as the O's take a 5-1 lead. They'd hold on and take game one from the Astros by a score of 5-3. Samuel Basayo would get in on the hit parade as well, going 2-for-4 with an RBI, and Pete Alonso would go yard, a two-run shot in the fifth, his fourth of the year. Not to be outdone by the bats, starter Shane Boz looked good as he captured the first win of his Orioles career, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball, striking out six. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the three-game set. And the fam will get you prepped with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, live from Pickles Pub, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play home run riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Bad Morning Show is sponsored by Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now. We're a broadcaster, Ben Wagner. What's going on, Ben?
Good morning. Much better after a win, right? Aren't we all agreeing on that?
Absolutely. We all agree on that. Absolutely. You know, Ben, we talked a lot on the TV side pregame about the combination of catchers for the Baltimore Orioles, the tremendous job they did in their last series at home, but last night even still, four for eight with three RBI. I don't know if there's a better catcher combination offensively in the league than Adley Rutschman and Samuel Basayo.
I looked at this offseason at various areas where the Orioles are automatically going to improve. Automatically going to improve with what they had and what was coming. I thought the catching core would be the biggest jump for the Baltimore Orioles in terms of offensive production and what they could get out of everything. Everything on base, slug. Even with the highs and lows that we're probably going to experience with a sophomore season with Samuel Basayo. But I ID'd this catching core as, which was the most frequently used, seven catchers last year, and extremely deficient in production. I thought that Adley Rutschman and Samuel Basayo would be driving this bus for the most improved pocket of outfielders versus any other position, infielders versus any other position, and catchers, obviously. I thought this was going to be an area where they would excel, and Adley Rutschman is the largest reason why that is possible, and it's great to see. And it doesn't surprise me. I thought it was coming, and it's great to see it coming together so early in the season too.
Hey Ben, as far as last night, looking at the difference in Shane Boz from some previous starts, did you see anything with him? Was it having his pitches, all of them, the control of the fastball? Because it looked like the knuckle curve was pretty nasty last night.
Jeremy, the knuckle curve is an elite weapon for Shane Boz. What he needed is some complementary pitches around it. When his fastball is humming, everything can build off of that. But what he has done with the cut fastball, and essentially, again, scrapped the slider, is really surprising, because all spring training he was trying to harness this slider, get it back. I've seen it next to none in the regular season. But what he has morphed with the cut fastball, both sides of the plate, and his ability to manipulate it over the course of any game, let alone this season, has been unbelievable. And it's really jumping off the page that this is kind of a reverse track from the conversation points that we had with Shane in spring training and even in the early part of the season on what his priorities were. Obviously, he's found something that is working and working a lot. Yesterday, in my mind, was the best pitching performance that we have seen from Shane Boz out of the handful already this season, which was great. The one difference that I saw was beyond the pitch mix. I thought his cadence was just a couple of beats slower on the mound last night. And maybe that little bit slower control, him just taking an extra breath here or there, provided a rhythm in execution, slowed his body down a little bit more as well, and was the difference maker. He never looked rushed. He never looked out of sync. He looked in complete control.
I agree with you wholeheartedly here with Ben Wagner, Oriole broadcaster, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The word of the day yesterday before the game was inconsistency, and you look at it across the board, Ben, and that's why this team right now is 14-15 instead of, you know, much better than that. They've been inconsistent on the mound, at the plate, defensively. Do you think this team has the DNA or the resume to become one of the more consistent teams in the American League?
Well, they have the resume to do that, certainly. You can point at the areas that need to improve right away with the consistency, and that is more consistency in terms of their starting pitching, and can you be efficient in that? And we know the ripple effects of good starting pitching, right?
Right.
Offensively is where the season rests. You know, you can piecemeal, you can move guys up and down on your pitching staff and try to figure it out, cobble together a season. But that clubhouse offensively is where all the talking points are going to start and end with the Orioles and the success of this season. And the resume is there. The veterans that have been brought in, the resume is there. The power that Pete Alonso and Taylor Ward have, certainly, the resume is there. The core that had already gone through a 101-win season in dramatic fashion and timely hits, we know the resume is there. And that's part of the consistency. That is what has been, you know, lacking for a couple of years, certainly, but now it's more a balanced attack. And if you can start to find that consistency offensively, and the lineup has some depth to it, that is going to be an accelerator for the Orioles the rest of the season. And I keep going back to this to remind myself, but also other people, this lineup isn't complete yet. It still has some pieces of this puzzle that aren't there. So to be a game under 500, almost 30 games into the regular season, just over a month into the regular season, there is so much runway in front of the Orioles, and a lot of it's there for the taking down the stretch here coming up too for the Orioles, let alone the big battles that we have like going into New York this weekend. The consistency is there, and it will be collectively. There is an ability for the Orioles to do that, even though guys are going to get hot and cold. You know, we can go over guys one by one, right? Jeremiah Jackson, red hot start. Now he's kind of cooling off. Samuel Basile, cool start. Now he's red hot. You know, so there's going to be an ability for this lineup to have some balances in it.
Ben, I don't know how you feel. Like, you brought it up. There's certain hitters when they get on these heaters, and the three that really stand out, and I know there's more than this, is Otani, Judge, and the cat that we see batting second for the Astros, and Alvarez. I told Rob before yesterday's game, I am not throwing him a pitch to hit. If I have to walk him, I'm walking him. I will not be beat by that guy. He's so good, and he hits lefties and righties. I think he hits lefties better than righties. What are your thoughts on that? Because I'm not throwing the guy a single pitch.
Well, you can't give him anything to hit. I mean, you cannot make a mistake. If you're going to pitch around him, you know, the old adage, the unintentional, intentional walk. or if you're Craig Albernaz, who now twice we have seen this, not be too proud sitting there in a managerial chair to hold up four fingers and say, not today, not this guy. And we had this exact conversation coming to the ballpark yesterday, leading in, because of Yordan Alvarez. And not only what he is doing, you can look at the home run totals, you can look at the RBIs, but right now he has the modern day triple crown. He owns average, he owns on base, he owns slug. And that is a terrifying combination if a game is on the line and that guy is looming. So I posed the question. I said, do you think we're going to see, you know, the Orioles hold up four fingers no matter the situation, or is he going to get pitched around for three straight days? And, you know, you banter about it. And I said, I think Albie's already told us what he is willing to do. When we were in Cleveland, Jose Ramirez was coming up. First base was, there was a base open, and it was first base in this scenario, just like it was yesterday. Four fingers, bang, right up. Tying run, doesn't matter. Go ahead, run coming to the plate, doesn't matter. That guy with a bat in his hand is the most dangerous person on the planet right now, and he's not going to beat you with a single swing.
Yeah, you're right about that. I agree with you. Albernaz has no problems putting you on base. Hey, Ben, thanks a lot for your time this morning. I know it's an early morning for you after last night. I'll see you.
He doesn't care. He does this to everybody. Ben, don't let him fool you.
You don't care. Yeah. You know, we're gonna sit in the rain and hold umbrellas in about 4 hours anyway. We're good.
The infamous rain delay.
Hey, as I always ask, you prefer extra innings and rain delays because you guys get paid by the hour, right?
No, we don't get paid by the hour.
Never mind. Sorry.
No, I'm working for free those days.
Thanks a lot, Ben. I'll see you later.
You guys be well.
Thanks, man.
Baltimore Oriole broadcaster Ben Wagner.
I think he's fit in nicely since coming down here from Toronto.
No, he's a dude.
Yeah.
He's a dude.
By the way, off the air, Rob said this to me about a couple people. When we say, hey, how's this person? He's a dude. I think that's his go-to, means, like, hey, you're going to like him.
I like him.
Yeah.
If you're a dude, I like Ben, Brett, Ben. They're all dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like... they're great at their jobs. When that mic shuts off, we're dudes.
Yep.
And that's what I like about it. It's a great team to work for. Same here with you.
I don't think he's got a bunch of sissies dicks here. Sissies that love Lost and think it's not confusing.
Jamie Carr's Daily Now at 9:30, but on the other side, I think he just turned your mic off.
He did.
NBA playoff breakdown up next on The Fan.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
What's left for the Ravens to sort out after adding 11 players in the draft? We're going to discuss what their biggest remaining needs are and look ahead to rookie minicamp.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Yes. This is VJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Jeremy, I got an interesting text.
Yeah.
Someone said you were talking about all the dudes you worked with on TV. You didn't mention Jim Palmer. Is he not a dude? No, he's not. He's royalty.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been disrespectful if I said Palmer was a dude?
Well, I mean, I guess it's the interpretation of, because I think people are saying when you're saying somebody's a dude, it's just a cool guy. You know, like, that's a cool guy to be around. I think some people interpret that way.
Palmer's royalty.
Yeah.
That's like, you can't call Palmer dude.
Yeah.
You know, can you hang out with Palmer? Yeah, you can, but you got, you know, he's. You wouldn't have felt some kind of way if I said, yeah, Jim Palmer's a dude.
I don't think I would have, no.
You wouldn't have?
No, I don't think, I wouldn't have taken it as shade or negative. Like, but I get what you're saying now. When you're saying, I didn't bring him up saying he's a dude because he's royalty.
He's royalty. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I still think it's cool that I get a chance to ask that cat a question. Sometimes if he takes too long to answer Rob and Ed's question, I may not get one. But no, but he's, I've told the story before. I remember having him on a morning show at the old station, and the morning show host asked him three questions in total, and he was on for 40 minutes. 40 minutes.
Yep.
We skipped out on the commercial breaks. It's just like, hey, let him roll.
I was about to say, who's going to stop him?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, he's one of the few guys that I could ask a question, and he goes off the rail, and it doesn't frustrate me. Because it's going to end up in a story that's probably more interesting than the answer that you would have gotten from your question.
See, and that's, I mean, something I can admit about myself, like being around people, it doesn't matter who it is, I feel like I'm going to be in that conversation one way or another. You are going to hear me talk.
Oh, yeah.
And being around somebody like Palmer, being in that setting, yeah, you might hear me ask him a question, but you'll see me sit back, sip my tea, and just listen.
Shut up.
Yes.
NBA playoffs tonight. I know this sounds weird, man, but when the 8 seed beats the 1 seed in the NBA playoffs, you expect it to go 7, am I right?
Yes.
If it's going to happen, it's going the distance. Well, the number 8 seed could beat the number 1 seed in 5 tonight, which is, in my opinion, ridiculous. And before you sit here and tell me that they're not your average 8 seed, okay, that's still a 1 seed. That's still a 1 seed.
Yep.
I don't care what the Magic, that's a 1 seed. It could happen tonight, Jeremy. I know it's going to be a long shot because it's going to happen on the road, but it could happen tonight.
Yeah, Pistons are 9.5-point favorites tonight, kind of telling you how they feel. But let's be fair, they've been, it's kind of like I talked about the Rockets-Lakers series where Rockets come in as huge favorites. They lose the first two games. Then they go home and somehow lose that game, find a way to win in game 4 to send it back to L.A., and you're going, yeah, the Lakers are favored now. Like, right. That series is flipped, and you understand it. I think some people look at this and go, man, Orlando's been playing right there with them, beating them more times than they've beat them, and they're 9.5-point underdogs. I say this all the time. When you get pressed up against the wall like the Pistons are, you're probably going to see the best game you've seen from the Pistons so far in the postseason tonight. I don't know if that means you might see a better game from Orlando, but you're going to see max effort in this spot. And that's why you see the inflated total. And the same thing with Cleveland and Toronto. Like, Cleveland's 8.5-point favorite tonight. And I think the numbers are right.
And I'll say it to you again. I said it after game 1, and here we are game 5. There's some coaching issues in Detroit.
Yeah.
Your team does not come in. This is not getting upset. This is getting outclassed, outcoached, outplayed. You know, you're losing 7, okay, man, but this is unacceptable right now for a 1-8.
Yeah.
It is. Now, speaking of being up 3-1, no Luka Doncic. No Austin Reeves.
Have they ruled Austin Reeves out officially because he was questionable?
They haven't played yet. How are they up 3-1?
Oh, I got you.
He's not been ruled out yet. But how are they up 3-1? Is this like yet another feather in LeBron James' cap?
I think so. I mean, look, there's so many people that want to pound their chest to tell you he's the greatest player of all time. And when you start looking at his physical attributes, how long the longevity he's played and the high level he's played at. I was listening to somebody say, if you can't watch what LeBron's doing right now at 41 and tell me he's not better than Jordan, then you're an idiot. And what did Jordan do when he was 41? I said, that's how we're basing careers now, is how you did when you were old.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I mean, it's an added bonus to look at it. And I think it was Steve Kerr who said it best, in my opinion. Like, LeBron's the most gifted basketball player we've ever seen.
Yes.
Jordan, when you went up in a playoff series against him, you knew you were going to lose. You knew that cat just had a different mentality, the same way that I think Kobe did, you know? So, again,
comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
Instead of enjoying what LeBron James is giving you, you're constantly comparing him to the greatest basketball player of all time. That is, you're robbing yourself of the joy that is LeBron James. LeBron James is just the best basketball player of this generation. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
There's nothing in my opinion that's wrong with that. Do they close it out tonight?
The Lakers?
Yeah. At home?
No, I think the Rockets win. And I can't give you a good reason why, other than looking at, I know the Rockets came in as a 2.5 point underdog. It's 4.5 now. People don't believe in them. I don't know how the Lakers got this done. Bronny James is playing in playoff games, and his dad's throwing him oops.
Let's put an elephant in the room tab on it.
Okay.
I got Lakers tonight.
All right, I'll take the Rockets on the money line. I don't mind buying you a drink. I mean, you won't pay for drinks there anyway, do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I go in now. When I go to the elephant in the room, I give the guy my card right away, and I'm like, hey, I'm paying for this. I'm paying for
That's
this.
That's what I had to do.
Yeah.
Honestly, I had to do that last time. I had to say, listen, look, when Jeremy Allen was gone, I looked at him and said, here, take this. Yeah. Take it now. Check it out now. He said, but you got to check it out now, and I'll pay for the next one then. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas. What's going on? Hey, man. Before I get to the NBA, I heard you upgraded Dustin Sheets last night, man. You know?
You know? He had his nephew with him, man.
Oh, cool that kid. Was the reason why, man.
Cool kid, man. That had nothing to do with Dustin. If it was up to Dustin, I'd have put his ass up in the upper deck.
The upper room.
Hey, he said that was the first time he seen you when he was sober in his life, man. I'm like, hey, but real quick though, right? NBA, man. I think it's more of a testament against the Rockets, man. They got all that talent on that team, man. And you know, and you letting a 41-year-old LeBron James, you know, beat you without Reeves and Luka.
And man, you guys said if Kevin Durant joined you, you win the championship. That's what you guys say all the time.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. He was
the WD-40. That's what he is, man. You put Kevin Durant, he could fix all the squeaks.
Yeah. But on the Portland though, man, I enjoy watching that series with them, even though I know they're going to get beat by the Spurs though, right? But that team is going to be fun to watch in the future. If they can get a superstar, another superstar in Portland, if they can get a Giannis, I don't know what it'd take, what type of young talent Portland had to give up, maybe a Scoot Henderson or
it would be draft picks and some NBA players. It would be like to get that type of player, you're giving up a package that includes multiple picks and players that can play
screw
now.
Screw both of y'all. I ain't going from Milwaukee to Portland.
That's not an upgrade.
Screw that.
Definitely not an upgrade. It's like a push. That's like a push right there.
If I leave Milwaukee, I'm going to the bright lights in big city somewhere.
Hey, what you think about the one guy on Portland? I know I'm going to butcher his name. Ben Avocado.
Denny Avocado, man.
You know what I'm talking about. I can't pronounce that guy's name.
Well, he's Israeli, so it's a big Jewish name, the Avocado family. Denny Avdia.
That's his name, yeah. Avdia.
He was on the Wizards for a long period of time before they traded him.
That's Tommy Two Times cousin, right?
Hey, Denny Avocado.
Hey, Rashawn.
Yo.
Gotta go. Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, I was talking to, anybody know I'm a Lakers fan, but I gotta keep it real, man. I still don't trust the Lakers, bro. I mean, they playing the Rockets, Kevin Durant, let's, you know what I mean?
Kevin Durant played the last game, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
No, he sat out game three.
He played game two.
Yeah.
Did they win that game?
No.
All right. Who won that game?
The Lakers.
All right.
They was out 3-0.
So they beat Durant, too. Hey, Trippy, don't be calling. Hey, listen, man, don't jump ship. You're a Lakers fan. Don't jump ship.
I think he's just calling it as he sees it.
I don't want him calling as he sees it. I want him calling as we see it together.
My favorite NBA player, he ain't jumped team to team to try to join the championship like
Kobe.
LeBron James. You
know Kobe. I mean? Kobe. That's right.
You know what I mean?
What are you talking about? He left the Hornets right off the bat. They drafted his ass.
He ain't play for him yet, though. But look, this is what I wanted to say, though, right? I was talking to a Lakers fan on Twitter yesterday, and I said, bro, we should have swept the Rockets. You know what he said? Oh, we gave him that game. I said, all right, now, if the Rockets win game 5 and game 6 and they go to 7, now Kevin Durant get to make history, right? But other than that, though.
What? How's Kevin Durant making history? Tear apart 4 teams?
Because remember when they said that it was something going on, but see, he had made history for himself. Now, his team was down 0-3, and they came back. You know what I mean? But the Pistons, they in trouble. And y'all Knicks fans, I'm sorry. I do not like the Knicks, man. I hope the Knicks lose in seven, and I hope Boston – or my bad, because that's EDC, man. So, hey, I feel like if the Celtics win the championship this year, I feel like the Ravens might win the championship because, you know, that's EDC team. But other than that, man, y'all have a great Wednesday. Hey, Ed, what's up, Ed?
He's not here. Did the Ravens win the last time the Celtics won a championship?
No. I don't think so.
Joe LaCroix's Encore 945 on the other side is the Daily Line.
Yeah, winning night last night. Called the Sal Perez home run. Did not get my Sal Stewart, so my Sal parlay didn't work. But overall, winning night, 3-2 in my top plays. We'll get to that. Talk about the NBA, NHL. There's a bunch of good baseball games to attack. Got some weather spots for you. And I'll give you my favorite home runs as well.
Jeremy Allen drinks on Jeremy Kahn after that Laker win tonight.
We'll see. We'll do it all next in the Daily Line here on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles outlasted the Astros last night 5-3, with Adley Rutschman driving in a pair, Pete Alonso going yard, and Samuel Basayo staying hot with a 2-for-4 night. On the mound, Shane Boz got the W, tossing 5 2/3 of one-run ball while striking out 6. Shane had a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's beginning to show signs of the guy that the Birds invested a lot of money in moving forward. Here's skipper Craig Albernaz on another strong start by Boz.
Boz looked great today. He did a good job of getting the cutter going. He had all three fastball shapes going, the cutter, the sinker, and the four-seam. And four-seam had great life in the strike zone. And then when he's doing that, it just sets up the curveball. And the curveball had really good bite to it. Started just on the same plane as the heater, and it just disappeared. So he was really effective tonight, throwing strikes. It was a really good outing for Shane.
Last night's start lowered Boz's ERA from 5.08 to 4.5, and he's pitched at least 5 innings in all 6 of his starts this season. Weather permitting, the O's and Astros will battle again tonight in Game 2 of the 3-game series. And the Fan will get you prepped with Baltimore baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30. First pitch is slated for 6:35. And in Ravens news, Baltimore signed a pair of undrafted QBs yesterday, giving 3-year deals to Vanderbilt product and former Heisman Trophy finalist Diego Pavia and UConn's Joe Fagnano. Those two will be present at the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp. Your Wednesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies with rain and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs near 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Strategic Tax Resolutions. Do you have unfiled tax returns or tax debt? Act now to protect your income and assets. Call Greg Talbot with Strategic Tax Resolution at 443-367-9000 or visit strategictaxresolution.com. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Overs, unders, favorites, and dogs. It's Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line.
Show me the money.
On 105.7 The Fan. Brought to you by Life Med Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at Life Med Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to lifemedinstitute.com to find out more.
To right field, and the Rays take the lead. Well, he got deep in the count the other times and couldn't figure out Bybee. This time, wasting no time. Struck him out, and the Rays with their first shutout of the season. Blank the Guardians 1-0 to win the series.
Just like the show lost, I don't understand Joe. I gave him 3 games. 2 of them were winners. 1 of them was a loser. Some bitch picked a loser. That's the game I lost yesterday. Thanks, Joe.
You know why? You know why he did?
Why?
Because you don't understand loss.
Because he's a sissy. No. Sissy is such a dumb word. He's going to be so pissed at me after the show. It's all right. Look.
Wasn't it a sissy duck? Wasn't that a cartoon character?
Sissy duck?
Yeah, what? Was it there?
I thought
it was. Go ahead. As you were.
No, that was courtesy of MLB. what is it? MLB Radio, MLB Network, whatever you want to call it. The Guardians had the earliest game yesterday, and it was just putting up zeros. Parker Messick 2 days ago was on one. They led 2-0. Then it was 2-1 in the eighth. They blew it. Rays come back and win. Yesterday, it's 0-0 almost the entire game. And then the Rays scratch out one run, and that was it. Some people call those games boring, but I think every at-bat means something. Every pitch means something in a 1-0 game. But I like it either way. You can give me the high scoring or the low scoring games. Baseball will still be very good to me, even though I lost that game. I did, however, I won the Royals, called the Sal Perez home run. That was good. We won the Orioles, won the Blue Jays. There were a bunch of spots. The Phillies, Jesus Luzardo was the number one pitcher in my algorithm. Go ahead and drink. And he looked like it. He shut him down, and they won that game. So overall, a winning day yesterday. And it's like, where do you want to go today with some of the plays that we have? So I'll start it off with this. In the NBA, I do like the Cavs. I like the Pistons, too, but the Cavs, I made them a play and not the Pistons, to be honest with you. -8.5. I think the Cavaliers, I just don't know. Maybe the Magic match up better with the Pistons than what we're seeing. I think the Cavs play down to the level of their opponent when they go face the Raptors. And at times, you'll see him build a double-digit lead and then just blow it. But I think this is a spot coming back home. They win this swing game and send it back to Toronto. Now, in the NHL, I like Utah and Vegas to go under the 5.5. And I'm seeing sixes out there. So, obviously, if you see a six, take the under six. Don't take it under 5.5. But I do like both of them. Now, in baseball, here's what the weather's telling us today. In a lot of early afternoon games, the Cleveland game's the first one.
Baltimore in trouble, but go ahead.
Yeah, Cleveland under. Minnesota over is a great spot. And by the way, in that game, it's two decent pitchers, Taj Bradley and George Kirby. Kirby's good. Good old Jorge Kirby. Orioles under is another great spot, but I think a lot of that has to do with the rain that's coming in and some of the wind that's going to come along with it. I was looking at tomorrow's game. You want to know the projection for tomorrow's game? They're calling Orioles 17-mile-an-hour winds, 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's blowing from left to right, so it's kind of weird. There's no benefit really for pitchers or hitters. I think sometimes it actually ends up hurting the fielders more and trying to field some of those crazy ass balls when you get a high pop fly.
Balls, yeah.
You know, it's just it finding out where it's going. And if the wind is crazy, it moves quick. That being said, with today's games, the Mets under looks like a good spot. And they're saying the Braves under, but I like the over there. And it's going to be hard to believe that I like the over because you have Tarik Skubal on the bump for Detroit. Now, as I've said before, I think Tarik Skubal's having a great year. I do think you can get to him and score some runs off that bullpen for Detroit. The lineup that the Braves have, really, really good. But on the flip side, when you start looking at the one of the things you might like about the other side of this, it's the fact that Atlanta's trotting out a pitcher that, again, you're not going to fear. You're not going to sit here and worry about him shutting down the opposing team. And I know he had a good start his last time out. I think it was his first start. It was J.R. Mm-hmm. Richie. He's kind of middle of the pack here today in the pitching slate. One of the things I find interesting is I like the Dodgers over against the Marlins, and that's another pitching matchup where you would go, well, damn, you got Sandy Alcantara and you got Tyler Glasnow. Why are you going to tell me to take the over, especially when these teams have honestly been light hitting the past 2 days? Even with the Dodgers comeback, where I think the game went over the total by a half a run, but they had to score 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth the other night. Marlins beat them last night. Sandy Alcantara, good pitcher, right? We were talking about how great he's looked early on in the season. Grades out. The only pitcher worse than him on today's slate, according to matchup and everything else, is Tommy Sagano, who's got the red-hot Reds. I would tell you, I would lean towards that Reds over. I did not make it a play, but damn, they're hitting the hell out of the ball. If you look at what Ellie De La Cruz and Sal Stewart and Matt McClain and even Spencer Steer, these guys, they've been hitting the hell out of it. So I still think the Dodgers tonight are the best hitting group. That's not saying a lot because usually they are. But going up against Alcantara, like, I'm surprised that he grades out this bad. Not striking out the guys he's used to. I think he's going to hit a lot of bats today. And the same thing applies for the A's, where we get a weaker pitching matchup. Michael Waka Waka Waka.
There you go.
He's pitching against Luis Severino. Lefties absolutely eat up Luis Severino. So you can look for those guys. Vinny Pascantino, I like him for a homer tonight. But in this spot, here's where we're looking at Michael Waka's grading out terrible because the smaller ballpark, you got a fly ball hitting team. He's a fly ball pitcher with the A's. I think it's doom and gloom. I think this is, I mean, the total's 10. I think this one goes way over the total. I like the Orioles today. If I hadn't said that yet, I like Tampa Bay, Cleveland under. There are some sevens, but 6.5 is what I'm primarily seeing. I like it under 6.5. And I mentioned Seattle, Minnesota taking the over there, even though it's a decent pitching matchup. My home run calls for today, to make it official, I didn't put him in there, but I do like Pascantino. I have Nicholas Kurtz, Rob. Nicholas Kurtz for the A's is number one. Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Sal Stewart. I'm going back to the well we missed yesterday. And Kevin McGonigal, the leadoff hitter for Detroit, who he's a guy who's going to be making a push for Rookie of the Year in the American League. Really, really good ball player. And if you missed it, Travis Pezzana is getting called. Got called up by the Guardians, the former number one overall pick.
Yeah.
He'll be playing second base for them, I think.
Last night.
Did he play last night?
Played last night.
I didn't see him play.
I want to say 0-for-2 with two walks.
Man, I can't believe I thought they were calling him up for tomorrow's game or today's game.
No, he played last night.
Wow. Let me see what he did.
He had two walks. I think 0-for-2 with two walks.
Yeah, that was it. 0-for-2, two walks. He struck out. One of them was an intentional walk. But keep your eye on him. Good player.
At the end of the game, I think in extra innings, they walked him. Get the bases loaded.
By the way, it wasn't great hitting conditions yesterday. It was great pitching conditions. So he won a nothing game. I think you can figure some of that out. But my my favorite plays today are going to be the Rays Guardians under, the Orioles, Twins Mariners over, Marlins Dodgers over, and then I threw the Cavaliers in there. If you don't want to bet the NBA, throw in the A's and Royals. I really like that a lot. I was going back and forth of which one to put in the top five, but that's what I have, so there you go.
There you go. Thank you very much. 410-583-1057 is the number. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
What's left for the Ravens to sort out after adding 11 players in the draft? We're going to discuss what their biggest remaining needs are and look ahead to rookie minicamp.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Silver and Black are moving on. San Antonio punched their ticket to the second round last night, dismantling the Blazers 114-95 to take the series in five games. Victor Wembanyama, a force again on both ends. 17 points, but 14 boards and 6 massive blocks. Spurs move on. I'm Drake Toll.
Mic check 1-2.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? One last time, I need y'all to roar.
Let me ask a quick question to Ed. Ed, do we kink shame on this show?
No.
I think we might. I'm just saying, I think we might.
A few minutes later.
This guy, the 46-year-old, who also slept clinical waste bins for comfort and referred to herself as an adult baby diaper lover. Taylor was previously called Martin Tarling, but now identifies as a woman. So, yeah, he's got some interesting things going on here. Admitted 3 counts of dumping bags of toxic material. The creep who also...
That person identifies as a woman?
Mm-hmm.
I had to say person because I don't...
Yeah, I think he identifies as a creep. He also admitted stealing clinical waste bags from one of the business... Oh, God. And breaching a criminal behavior order that barred them from being within 10 miles of a nursery.
Was 10 miles?
Yeah, he can't be within 10 miles.
That sounds like it's just made up. Right.
How's that possible?
Maybe it's not. It says 10 m. Is it meters?
Meters, maybe.
Meters.
Yeah.
Meters doesn't sound right. That's not that far.
No. Yeah, that's what they want. You get 10 miles.
No, they don't want you within. He's so disgusting. You can't go within 10 miles. I'm staying with it. What do they use in Europe?
That's 30 feet.
Kilometers. 10 miles. Man, get your nasty ass away from us. You got to be 10 miles away. But Taylor has now been jailed for 30 months after being caught fishing dirty nappies from bins a second time outside of, I guess it's like a retirement home?
Oh my gosh.
Or like assisted living? The Crown Court heard Taylor return to the grotesque obsession within months after being released from prison. Taylor pleaded guilty to 4 breaches of criminal behavior order with 4 separate incidents in December. These included soiled incontinence pads being taken from a bin and left strewn in a garden. Oh, God, it's disgusting. This thing.
So he was stealing old people's diapers.
Yes. He stole over 50 soiled nappies.
And that's the encore of the day. You do realize if you had to stay within 10 miles or something, they would have to put you in that one spot in town and say, don't move. You take one step forward, you're within 10 miles.
I mean, maybe it's meters, but it just
it is meters.
Well, you would usually hear you're not allowed within 500 feet.
Like, here in this country.
But what is it? 10 meters is what?
30 feet, is it?
Roughly, yeah, a little bit.
30 feet.
Yeah. So,
yeah. All right. She just one spot. Don't move. If you move slightly to the left or the right or forward, you're within 10 miles.
Well, did you hear about the guy that invented the yardstick?
No, I haven't.
He's not making it any longer. Well, there you go.
That's time for you to find out what we learned today.
What we learned on the Big Bad Morning Show.
Today is National Shrimp Scampi Day. Are you a fan of shrimp scampi?
I like it, yep.
I hate it.
Do you?
Mm-mm,
too much butter and...
Not a fan of that stuff at all. So rich, man, makes me... Ugh. Just thinking about it right now makes me nauseous.
Now I'm going to go eat some.
Yeah, I am too. Some birthdays in entertainment. Today would have been Dale Earnhardt's birthday. Willie Nelson turns 93 today. Luis Aparicio, 92 today. Former NFL quarterback Jim Hart turns 82 today. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld, using that term loosely, turns 72 today. Former NHL player Mike Babcock, 63 today. Former NFL player Browning Nagel, 58 today. Andre Agassi turns 56 today. Former pitcher Sterling Hitchcock turns 55 today. Former baseball player Rafael Betancourt, 51. This is a great name. You remember this name. I think you will. Former basketball player God Sham God. Remember him?
Yeah, he had his own dribble.
Yeah.
He had the God Sham God, the one-handed crossover.
He turns 50 today. Former NBA player David Lee, 43. Former NFL quarterback Jay Cutler, 43.
I said Smoking 50, Jay.
43 is for David Lee. I hope I didn't say 53. Justin Thomas turns 33 today. Uma Thurman turns 56 today.
Uma.
All right. Joe, Daniel Day-Lewis and Michelle Pfeiffer share a birthday. Who's older?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Who is the first one?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, man.
That's a good
one. I want to switch.
Do you?
And Daniel Day-Lewis.
You sure? All right.
I'm going Pfeiffer.
You're going Pfeiffer? Daniel Day-Lewis turns 69.
69.
Michelle Pfeiffer turns 68.
68. Oh, it doesn't. She'll owe you one. What?
Oh. A little lost over there.
Yeah.
Oh. Ah, there's the smoke monster.
All right. I got banned from the local park for training squirrels to line up by height. Apparently, they didn't like me criticizing. Did you know it takes 5 sheep to make 1 sweater?
No.
Yeah, I didn't even know they could knit. I got over my addiction to chocolate, marshmallow, and nuts. It wasn't easy. Frankly, it was a rocky road. Anyway, all right. What do you call a nervous javelin thrower? A Shakespeare! Did you hear about the criminal breaking into his own house? It was a work-from-home day. Where are we at? When I die, I want my ashes to be pressed into an LP record. It's my vinyl request. I'll save that one for last. I run 30 minutes every day, and if I miss a day, I add 30 minutes to the next day. It's been a total game changer. Tomorrow, I'm supposed to run for 3 weeks. Why did Beethoven eat all of his chickens? Because when he asked them who the best composer was, they kept saying, Bach, 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 Bach. Oh, it's a classical joke. And last one. Joe, how much time do I have? 2 more? Oh, I got to find a better one than that. Here. On our way home last night, my wife said, let's stop and visit my brother Nicholas. So we took the... We took the scenic route.
Scenic.
And lastly, how does Moses make his coffee? He brews it.
Yeah. Vinny and Hedy up next. Have yourselves a safe and a wonderful Hump Day Wednesday.
This is the Fan, baby.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Hedy. Inside access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan.
Hey moms, dads, teachers, and coaches. Visit PNCAchieversBaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.